Well, glad y'all are here today. We got kind of a different morning going on. We're kind of taking a detour from the biblical manhood and womanhood, and we're going to kind of do a little bit of something just to go into what is prayer. It sounds simple. It's kind of complex, you know, with prayer. But the one thing I want to start with today is I don't want to seem like I'm up here with this arrogant attitude that I know what prayer is, because I don't. It's almost like teaching humility, I've heard from somebody, trying to teach you guys how to pray and what prayer is, and it can be tricky, so bear with me as I bring this to you from Scripture, as ultimately it comes from the Word and why we understand it. So what is prayer, right? The basic form of prayer is simply just open communication between you and God. That's pretty much it, simple. As we're talking today, that's how we talk to God as well. You know, I'm talking to Owen over there. I'm talking to Becky over there. Just communication. There's no other things you have to do in between, right? We don't have to talk to a priest. We don't have to go to this person to communicate with God. It is simply us communing with the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing. And a lot of different religions and groups have taken effect of that and abused it, as you can see. But that's simply what it is. The cool part of it is throughout the Bible, we've seen many examples of prayer. You can look at hundreds of verses. I can't name them all, but hundreds of verses where they pray to God. They pray for themselves. They pray for others. And that's really kind of exciting thing to see how much prayer is huge in the Scriptures. I think if I looked up the word prayer right now, it came up 108 times in 105 verses. Just the word prayer. I didn't look up pray. I just looked up the word prayer. And you see common themes, like you look at Exodus 33:18. Moses says, I pray you show me your glory. So one example, just a small one. You look at Exodus 34:9 as an example. You look at 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and the list just goes on where prayer is in the Scriptures. A famous prayer that Christ did to talk to his Father was John 17, which we're pretty familiar with. And even the smallest one in Matthew 14:30, where Peter was scared and he prayed, Lord, save me. Probably the shortest prayer, but it was a prayer, right? So prayer is just communication between you and God. That's all it is. Now, what's the purpose of this prayer? Well, one purpose of the prayer is to demonstrate God's goodness and his glory. You know, we ultimately always glorify God with our prayers. And so John 14:13 says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified. So we understand the big focus of prayer is to glorify God. Why does he get glorified? Well, we pray to God. He's the one that answers our prayers. We glorify him for the prayer. So that's where he gets the glory. He's the one that answers the prayers. MacArthur wrote in this passage here, prayer is affirming God's sovereignty, righteousness, and majesty, seeking to conform our desires and our purposes to his will and glory. So the more we pray as Christians, we are desiring God's will and to seek his, desiring his glory and seek his will. Ultimately, that's what we want to do. That's kind of later on, we'll talk about it. But you see people who try to pray for things not of his will. I say, I need a new Ford F-250 just because I want one, right? I'm not sure if that's part of his will. It might be your will, right? You know, you see those little nuances. But that's where prayer comes in, is when we do that, we're submissive to the Lord, and we're seeking to seek his will, right? Because that's what's important, is his will above all. So that's one reason. Another reason of prayer is just to be a blessing to us. I mean, can you imagine how many times you got up in the morning when you just prayed to God and talked to him? It just brings you joy. I can tell you how much joy it brings to me, because it's the only thing I have in my life, you know, then of course my family, but it's that prayer life with God, that open communion with him that I can just get through my day, because I need strength every day. And that's one way. It makes us happy. We pray for one another and brings joy into our lives too. I mean, that's what the Scriptures tells us to do. We pray for the saints. We pray for those in authority. And we have someone where actually a lot of the secular groups don't have, right? Those who don't believe in God, right? They don't have God to go to. Whereas we have someone who is already past, present, and future, already solved everything. We can trust in that. And that's huge, because when you get older and older, you know, the world becomes less trusting and less trusting, and the world gets darker, and you don't know what's going to happen, but God already knows what's happened, and so we trust in him. And so with our prayers, it brings us joy to know I can take comfort and confidence in my prayer to him, because I know, one, he's going to answer it in his time and how he does sovereignly. And he's going to answer it even better, better, or in his mind or in sovereignty of that. So it's a blessing to us. Prayer is a blessing to us because it lets us talk to God. The third one is prayer. The purpose of it is because it works, right? Simply put. I'm sure you guys have multiple stories and accounts where you prayed and you've gotten to be a part of it, and you've gotten to see the fruits of that prayer, and it's been huge. And we know by having faith and believing, those prayers work. We pray to God who takes in joy in answering our prayers, because they work, and he answers the prayers of his children. Absolutely. He loves answering the prayers of his children. That's where he gets the glory, and that's what brings us joy. Do you guys have any questions about that? All right. Cool. Now, is prayer necessary for the believer? Probably most of you would say yes. It's probably the most important thing as a believer, right? I know you see pastors who or preachers who go on to preach, and they always say, like, the one thing you should do with preparing your sermon is always pray. That's probably the biggest foundation to your sermon, to your life, your sanctification, is your prayer life, in the sense of praying to God. So prayer should be like breathing to a believer. Should be just second nature. Should be like that. We are told in Scripture that we should pray at all times, we should pray without ceasing, and we should pray in every place. And those verses are Ephesians 6:18, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and then 1 Timothy 2:8. So we pray at all times, pray without ceasing, and pray in every place. Now, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? Does it mean to just pray every second and ramble all day of your day and never stop? Barry knows. That's exactly right. It doesn't, in that sense that you need to be conscious of God and his glory. So you go out the day and you're just at the park, for example, and you see the sun, you see the weather's nice, you see little children just playing, you see the joy in that, you see God's creation, you're just like, God, thank you for this wonderful day. Like, it's just that simple. We just thank God for that. We're conscious about God's glory and his creation and the joys we see around us. So you're constantly praying in that sense without ceasing. Okay? Thank you, God, for this wonderful weather. Thank you, God, for my family. You know, you're just constantly thanking him and praising him at all times. Being God conscious is what that verse really means. We pray. Prayer for the believer is very important as we come to God in every need. From praying from praises in our life to praying for God in the hardships, right? We trust in God in the joys, the trials, and the suffering. We pray to him at all times in that sense. And what it means to also pray in every place. So it doesn't mean you always hear that verse that talks about where you need to go pray in your closet and get away from that. Well, you look at that verse in context, Jesus never really had a closet of his own, right? He didn't. But he went to a private place to pray to God. Right? He went to go somewhere. So sometimes it's a good thing to go into a private place where you can focus on just talking to God. Yeah, that's a special time. It's a wonderful time because the world is dark and it's draining and you need that. I can't imagine a Christian not praying to God. That'd be a dark time. But we must trust in God through the times that are good and the times that we suffer. Prayer is so important to us. We even have examples of that in Scripture, and most of it's going to be from Christ. He showed us how we should pray, and that he himself would draw away from the crowds to pray with his Father. That's the God-man, right? 100% God, 100% man. Now, what's the funny thing is, why is God praying to God? Probably heard that before, right? It's kind of a funny nuance. What's the joy is, when we look at Philippians 2, 5 through 11, it talks about Christ emptied himself in the form of a servant. Okay? So when he did that, now his dependence, he take the form of a servant, and he was praying. And his praying showed his dependence upon his Father and his humility to carry out his Father's plan of redemption. So he was dependent on God's, you know, the prayers that he was doing. He was dependent on God, so he prayed to him. We see it in John 17. We see it right before he's like, you know, let this cup pass from me, but I will take it by your will. I mean, that's kind of what he said. His praying demonstrated that he ultimately submitted to the Father's will. So we see that example from Christ in that.
That Philippians verse again?
Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. So MacArthur also said that Jesus rose early in the morning, often before daybreak, to commune with the Father. And in the evening, he would frequently go to the Mount of Olives or some other quiet spot to pray, usually alone. And so saying that prayer was the spiritual air that Jesus breathed every moment of his life. I mean, he breathed that all the time. You look, the examples of John 17 when he was praying to the Father. Verses 1 through 6 is him praying to the Father. And the verses 6 through 26, Jesus is praying for his disciples. So it's clear to see that in the scriptures, Jesus' priority of prayer was huge. It was a big part of his life. Basically breathed it. If you guys wouldn't mind looking up Philippians 4 and verses 6 through 7, if I could have one of y'all just read that for me, please, when you find it. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Beautiful.
Summing up everything we talked about, the importance of prayer right there. It brings us joy. We petition to a loving Father. The thanksgiving, the praises, made known to a God who listens to us. And that peace comes back to us, which surpasses all comprehension, right? There it is, that trust. No one else can provide that. We'll guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, we look at I can't remember the verse at the top of my head, but it was Jesus talking to his disciples. So he said, watch and pray, lest you be tempted. And that's that part, guarding your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is huge in our lives. Prayer helps us protect us from sin, right? To pray and focus on his will and glory. Now, quick question on this one. Can anyone pray to God? Right? I would say yes. I think anyone can pray to God. God is omnipotent. He's everywhere at all times. You know, he's not like Satan, who's only one place from another. He is everywhere at all times. So he hears everything from the believer's prayers to even the non-believer's prayers. But the only difference is he is not obligated to answer the prayer of non-believers. Right? Because remember, we are children of God. He listens to our prayers. And those who do not believe, he's not obligated to hear their prayers. The only prayer that God will hear from, let's say, a non-believer would be the prayer of salvation. You know, to ask God to save me that I am a sinner and I need a Savior in my life. And I need to repent and turn away from that and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will always hear that prayer. I think we've all been through that. He's heard us and our pleas as we are falling in that way and sinners falling short, and yet we've been redeemed in Christ. So he's heard our prayers in that. Now, there has been a small note that he can answer some prayers in the sense for non-believers, but usually from what I've studied is he'll answer those prayers to slowly draw them in as one of the elect to bring them into Christ, and that I draw them in. But we just don't know who he does that for, right? That's his will. It's his sovereignty. That's why we trust in him, and we pray for all we can, and we pray for one another at all times. So yes, it's the prayers that he hears of his children. Anyone can pray to God. We all should go to God and pray to God. What should we pray for? That's probably a big topic. You ever think about that? What should we pray for in our daily lives every day? It sounds easy, and it's also tricky. But technically, we can kind of pray for anything. Doesn't mean that God will always do what our prayer says. You know, our answer could be yes. It could be a no. It could be even better than what we prayed for. It could be immediate. It could be delayed in our prayers, you know, but he will always answer them. God will always answer the fervent prayer of a righteous man, which James 5:16 says. A prayer of pure heart that follows God's will. And as we grow into progressive sanctification, we should love the things God loves and hate the things God hates. Thus, our prayers get more aligned with God, you know. So James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So yes, prayer works. It does happen. We should not pray selfishly, right, but for things we know God will answer. Let's say you pray for a loved one to come to Christ. Maybe you've been praying for them for years upon years, right? Maybe it's praying for a friend who's lost in sin. You grew up with them, they were with you at church, and then they fell away. Maybe they were with Christ to begin with. And then maybe you pray for them for multiple years. But we pray for them, right? We pray for the saints, like I said before, The scriptures actually tell us to pray for those in authority, right? Do you pray for your local police? Do you pray for the president? Do you pray for those in those positions? The Lord says we should. It's important. It is needed. Especially when you pray for the saints too. One of us. So Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times, with all prayer and petition in the Spirit, and to this end, being on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So we pray for all the saints. We are all saints in Christ. One thing we should pray for is, as we pray, is how we pray is praying in the Spirit. Okay? We know the Spirit intercedes for us with our prayers, because there's times we want to pray, but we don't know exactly what to pray for. And as the Spirit intercedes for us in our prayers, Christ is our mediator to the Father. And there are times we don't know what to pray for, but God has given us a helper, and that is the Spirit, which helps us with our prayers. In this way, we are able to pray in the Spirit. So Romans 8:26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So once again, God has given us a helper through that with the Spirit, that he can help us with our prayers. Because sometimes we might not be in the right mindset to pray. Sometimes we pray for things we know God won't answer, or we pray for things that are selfish, or maybe we're truly focusing on God and the Spirit just helps us with that. And that's great too. It's the gift that he's given us. Paul Bunyan wrote this, that prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God hath promised, or according to his word, for the good of the church with submission and faith to the will of God. So, coming together, how important that, how we should pray, is a sincere, affectionate pouring out of the heart to our God. As we pray to God, he already knows what we need even before we say it. You ever felt like that? Scripture says that pretty clear. Matthew 6:8 says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That's just great. Like, once again, his omnipotence as a glorifying God already knows what we're going to pray for before we pray for it. Other joys to pray for, in the sense, is we pray for God's will. We pray for strength and wisdom. So, verse 1, 1 John 5:14-15, if anyone could pull that up for me when they get a chance, and they can just read that when they find it. 1 John 5:14-15.
This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Yeah.
As we pray according to his will, he will answer them. And that's the key factor of all our prayers. It has to be according to his will. Thank you. So we pray for that. We also, there's a lot of things we pray for, right? One thing is to pray for wisdom, because that's something we always need as believers. James 1:5 says, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And I think that's one thing is every day we need is wisdom from God. We also pray for strength in our daily lives. I mean, this morning I prayed for strength because I have sinus infections going on. You could probably hear it right now. It's hard for me to focus with my head blowing up as big as it looks. So Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We pray for strength throughout our days. We pray for wisdom from God. And we pray for his will, because ultimately we want to abide by his will.
Hey, Stephen, coming back to that 1 John 5:14-15.
Yes.
You know, you're talking about praying for his will, and it also includes, you know, anything in his name, in the name of Jesus. And so, being that Jesus is our intercessor, mm-hmm. You know, we pray for the things, if we're aligning with God's will, we're praying for the things that Jesus would want. You
know? Yes.
We think about what is his will. Well, it's for the gospel to be proclaimed. And then those other things that would be in alignment with his will, like for the saints and for the strength of the saints and those things. It's not thinking that we're going to the genie in the bottle and we're just getting our every wish. As long as we add Jesus' name on the end of it, that's
absolutely
what we're doing. Like that's labeling it that God, obligating God to answer that prayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought that up because I'll be going over that a little bit.
All right.
That's good. No, it's great. And that's so true. That's funny. Yeah, because everyone, and I know if I have to pull up the verse, I'll get to it here in a sec, but you're right. Thank you for that. So getting back to that part, how should we pray? So we talked about just a minute ago, and our first title was, let me go back, what should we pray for? And now we look at, like, how should we pray? And so the scriptures show many types of ways we can pray to God. Actually, scripture shows we can pray with our hands up in the air, sitting down, and pretty much in any position. You can pray at any time, anywhere. I mean, there's no, like, restriction on that. If you were in the bathroom, you could even pray in there too, right? Like, you can do it anywhere. But one thing we should look into is we shouldn't pray in long, winding sentences. And you guys know where I'm going with this probably. We shouldn't pray in long, winding sentences with fancy words and fancy jargon that make us sound intelligent like the Pharisees do, right? They were the big dogs on that. Our prayer should be simple, pure, desiring God's will, and specific, okay? We shouldn't pray for formulas or rituals, like every time you end in Jesus' name. It doesn't have to be that. There's a lot of verses that don't say in Jesus' name. But when we say in Jesus' name, it's just to put the whole conscience of Christ into the whole aspect of God and Christ in our prayers. Like, we know who he is and what he's done and the work on the cross, and we know that's what in his name is what he would desire. And that's kind of a fun thing, too. So we know that's what it means by that.
Question on that?
Mm-hmm.
Are there points post-resurrection where prayers were not offered in Christ's name? Because I understand prior to, you know, that, you know, ultimately you would be praying in Christ's name, but since he is the intercessor before the Father, shouldn't we always praying, you know, bring these in the name of Christ?
I think it's a great thing to do anyways.
Okay.
I think the worry part is just making that the ritual, like you have to do it every time, I think.
Okay.
And I think just like the
should versus must kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like the Pharisees when they make those rituals and say those long words, like making it like that, then that's like the idolatry in that sense. But we should pray in Christ's name in the sense that we bring joy, that we know who is the one that answers those prayers, what he's done. So we take that's what we should focus on. In Matthew 6, 5, good question, thank you. In Matthew 6, 5 through 8, it's a long one, so I'll read to you real quick. And when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. So we shouldn't have to pray in these long, winding ways. We shouldn't have to do it in front of people to look glorified. And it says, like I said before, pray, like, you know, go to your inner room. But just going anywhere in private, just talking to God, just like it was an open communication. That's just how we should pray. Spurgeon even says this, that God measures our prayers by weight, not by length. We know that because we look at Peter in Matthew 14:30, where he is talking to Christ, he's walking on the water, and he says, Lord, save me. It's a short prayer, but he got right to the point. Lord, save me. And that's what's really cool. It doesn't have to be this long stream of just 30 minutes of words. Lord, save me. That's all he said. One other example we have on how we should pray, of course, is the Lord's Prayer. Christ did that. The disciples asked him, teach us to pray. Of all things they could ask Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, teach us to pray. And so, real quick, I'm going to read that prayer to you now. Matthew 6, 9 through 13 says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So you see how Christ modeled that prayer for us. It's a great example. And when you look at, I can't go into much detail on this one because it would take weeks and weeks to go into just studying this passage. But briefly, what I pointed out and what I noticed was the first part of it, you see how he modeled the prayer for us, and it shows us the focus of our prayer is, of course, God. You know, everything's pointing to God. It's his adoration, his worthiness, and his glory was pointed out in that prayer. And so that's how, once again, we're aligning back in our prayers towards Christ and towards God, too. How should we pray? We should pray earnestly to God. And earnestly just means serious, a serious prayer. We should, you know, you've always heard that scripture. It talks about, you know, knock and it will open, knocking at the door and you will receive it. We keep knocking at the door and keep praying to God. We don't give up, right? We just keep knocking and knocking and knocking and praying. And this kind of goes to some, I know maybe you struggle with this. I've struggled with this for years, but I have a friend of mine who I pray for, not faithfully every day, but I pray for him. And, you know, some days I feel like, well, God hasn't answered this prayer. Maybe he won't answer the rest of my prayers, you know? But that just presumes that God can't do that, which he definitely can. But my flesh says, well, maybe he can't. And that's a dark path to go into. So with that scripture about knocking and knocking, we just need to never give up in our prayer. You keep praying for those loved ones. You keep praying for the church, the saints, everyone. You keep praying for them. You don't give up. It may seem like you're not working. Maybe God's not listening. But he hears them, and he answers them in a sovereign time. Whether, like I said, it's immediate, delayed, or even better than what you prayed. Yeah, I've heard stories. I heard the story about this. This is a funny story, I guess, because I don't have stories of my own. I've lived long enough for these cool stories. But I heard this gentleman who was 85 years old, and he was, how do I describe it? He didn't have legs, but he was in this mission field somewhere in Indonesia, I think. And he was going on this podium, and he was just a loudspeaker, and he would basically just tell everyone, hey, I'm praying to God that we need these three wagons for our thing, or I need this wagon. It's got to be blue. It's got to have this. And the Lord will give it for me. I was like, okay, well, next week someone gave him three blue wagons, more than what he asked for. And he just hollered and said, hallelujah, thank you, praise God. So, well, that's cool. He got to praise God for that. It doesn't mean that prayer will happen every time, but what cool thing was that he got more than what he asked for is the point. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we pray to God, and he does give us more than we ask for. And we give him the glory. Always give him the glory. Sometimes it's years down the road. Sometimes it's immediate, or it's before you even pray for it. Like, it's kind of interesting how God works in his providence. But that prayer and all that comes from this verse in Luke 18, and it's that verses 1 through 8. And if you want to turn with me there, I'll read that. Now he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Do not faint. Instead of fainting, we pray. Saying, in a certain city there was a certain judge who did not fear God and did not respect him. Now there was a widow in the city, and she kept coming to him. So she kept coming to him, saying, give me justice from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect him, yet because this widow is bothering me, I will give her justice. And lest by continually coming she wears me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge just said. So basically the point is, she kept pestering him. She kept knocking at the door. And he's like, okay, fine. Here, I will give you your justice. In the same way, God asks us to constantly knock at that door, constantly for those prayers. James 5, 17 through 18 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly in a serious prayer that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. So praying earnestly, knocking at the door, constantly praying to God, don't giving up. Those are huge importances of our prayer, how we should pray. We also come into it as we pray in faith, because we know we must have faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that God can answer those prayers. Matthew 21:22 says, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So in faith, believing. Mark 11:24. For this reason I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you've received them, and they will be granted to you. So our prayers ultimately should be simple. They should be pure of heart, you know, in faith, believing in God, desiring his will, and specific. I've always heard specific prayers get specific answers, and general prayers get general answers. I've always heard that as a kid. Now, you go back to how we should pray. Now, how should we not pray, right? And you've probably seen in our time, in our generation, years on, how people have wronged that. And you see, over the years, many groups have used prayer as a means to gain prosperity and materialistic lifestyles. You know, you see the prosperity gospel. If you want that Ford truck, you just pray for it and God will give it to you. He has to. You know, like Owen just said a minute ago, they see him as a genie in a bottle and they just ask him for stuff, just constantly. And it doesn't work that way. I think we all know that. If we pray for our selfish desires, like a new truck or just money for our own selfish gain, he will not answer those prayers. He will answer prayers from a righteous man of pure heart, and as we ask according to his will, not our wills. I've heard a story before where this church was trying to get their radio station started, and they asked him, all we need is about $5,000 to get it going. So they did a love offering at their church, and they said, okay, we'll ask for $5,000. We don't do that often, but we'll do it. And so they asked for it, and you know, they asked God and prayed for it, and then the next day they got $4,400, and then someone's like, oh, by the way, I forgot, here's the other $600 for it. So it was exactly $5,000, which is kind of uncanny. You don't just get an exact amount when you have a whole congregation, you know, who may give an offering. So you pray, and God does answer it in his will. And so that was a cool moment to see for allowing the radio station to come up. You also heard things where you see people say, you know what, God, I have a mountain outside my house, for example, and I want my garden right there, and I know you can move mountains. I've seen the scriptures. But if you don't move it tomorrow, then I know you can't do it. And then they go to bed and get back up and say, ah, see, you didn't do it, God. Ah, I knew it all along. Well, he's not going to cater to that because he knows what you were thinking. He knows your prayers you didn't believe in the first place. We see that example with Jesus, with Satan in the wilderness, right? Satan says, hey, if they catch you doing this, and they catch you, then we know you are God, basically. He says, if you do this, we know you're God. And what does Christ say to Satan is, do not test the Lord your God, right? We don't force God in this box. Like, hey, you know, I'm going to put this fleece out, and if I get a phone call between 2 and 4 p.m., then I'll know it's your will, right? We can't do that to God. We can't test him like that. It's not how it works. We shouldn't use prayers for things like to bind Satan. I used to have a coworker who would do that. They would always pray, and they're always like, Lord, you need to bind Satan and deliver him and this and bind him and tie him up over here. And it's always funny to hear because you're like, well, why is he still roaming around like a roaring lion? Like, obviously it doesn't work, you know, to bind Satan for those prayers. Because it's like you have to keep praying to God to bind Satan, so it doesn't work. And then why is he still roaming? So Satan is God's Satan, right? God has control of him. And in his sovereignty, he's allowed Satan to do what he allows him to do. So we don't have that power. We are told in Scripture to study the Word, and he will flee from you, right? Study the Word, focus on God, the devil will flee from you. That's all we're told. That's how we defend ourselves. We run to Christ. But those are prayers that have been abused a lot. Prosperity Gospels abuse those prayers that we should get what we need. We should be all about us. It's I need this, I want this, and I should get this. Instead of God's will. And that's a big indicator. If you start praying for what I need all the time, sometimes you might have to check yourself on a lot of things you're praying for. And there's times I pray very selfishly too. Sometimes I think I have to be very cautious with my prayers because I get kind of selfish. It happens a lot. But
one of the ways this year has been a really big eye-opener as far as answered prayers and what to pray for myself personally. So, I mean, I went from living at home to living on the road this year, so it's been quite devastating. My family's been praying diligently for me to come home, and as well as having the financial ability to do so.
Yeah.
Purely praying for that, I've shifted to how can I be used in this opportunity to help others, and that is leading to opportunities for me to get home. So it's not a, I want this one thing now, necessarily.
Yeah.
Even if it's a good, selfish motive, it's, you know, how can I serve the kingdom while I'm working to get back, you know, to where I'm, where, to home.
Yeah, that's great. That's good to hear. Thank you for that. Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's hard, because sometimes in my mind, I tend to get more selfish with how I pray.
Trust
you know? And I always think it sounds good at first, but I always think, like, the word where it talks about, like, when you say in Jesus' name, you know, some people take that as, like, a, how can I put it? Like, is this something that Christ would desire? And you always think, like, if I pray for this, would it be something that Christ would also pray for? And that kind of convicts you a lot. Like, I want to pray for this, but would Christ pray for that? And you're like, oh, it always convicts me. And I learned just studying this in prayer really got me thinking about that too. So thank you for that. Go ahead.
I think it's Psalm 37 that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we see us requesting something for ourselves, it always begins with a desire for God or you know, draw near unto God and then flee from the devil. You know, is that there's always that aligning yourself with God and his will first. And I think it's, we all probably pray for things that are probably not aligning with God's will, but we want for it to align.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that, you know, he's going to, smite us for not asking
right
the right things.
Well, yeah, and you're right, because you always think, like, what if God answered our prayers every time, like, exactly how we pray for him? Like, that would be pretty silly. So we pray some wild stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So God does answer every prayer we utter. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he answers no.
Yep.
Okay, every prayer you utter is answered.
Just like a loving father would tell his children, right? When they know better and we trust in God. Yeah, or not now. Yeah. Thank you for the input, guys. Yes, exactly.
As we're asking for, I'm just real quick, but as we're praying for, let's just use the truck example.
Okay.
You know, how is that prayer impacting others around us? I know I've got family members that are in the NAR and hypercharismatic side of things, mm-hmm. and like we'd be on vacation and they pray, and there's a storm coming through and they pray for it not to rain.
Yeah.
So living in farming community up in North Dakota now, it's one of those like, well, I actually don't want to pray that prayer because I'm being selfish and wanting to go to the pool when the farmer down the street needs rain. So there's a balance of considering others in our prayers as well.
Yeah, and I that's so true. And I had a coworker a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Well, and I say the truck example because my coworker that I worked with was kind of like that. She listened to Joel Osteen and focused on that pattern. And she would always tell me, just she would be very confident, right? She'd say, you know, Stephen, you just need to pray for that truck and he will get you that truck. And I looked at her and I was like, honestly, I want a truck, but it's a selfish reason. I want a truck so I can drive and drive it around and haul things, not for God's glory. And she's like, oh, no, well, that'll work out once you get it. I'm like, no, it won't. If I desire it that way, why would it change when I get it? Like, I would fight her and tell her these things. And eventually, if God did provide one, of course he can do it in his glory. But in my mind, I was trying to let her know, like, I didn't want it for that reason. You know, because when I have a truck, I haul stuff. I haul trash. I drive it around. You know, it looks cool driving a truck, right? So I just knew in my heart that I was being sinful about it. But, of course, he can use it for our good, too, at all times. So now I'm going to get to the harder stuff. What can hinder our prayers, right? And I say these verses that come through as more of like a warning, because that's kind of what they lean on. So we know that God hears the prayers of all his children and takes the great delight in answering them, brings him glory, you know, in John 14:13. These verses stand as a warning to those that who are in sin can hinder your prayers from God. This is why, as all time, we must examine ourselves, you know, repent of our sins and deny ourselves, pick up our cross and walk with him. So things that we have, that come into, sorry, let me rephrase that. So things that come in as sin in your life, it could be wickedness, doubt, deceitful, selfish desires, motives, continually in sin, and even not being right with your wife kind of plays a role in all that. So the main verse I want to read to y'all is Psalm 66:18. If I see wickedness in my heart, and the King James Version says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, so if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. It's kind of a harsh warning, right? James 4:3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Ow. Like, you're wondering why that truck's not in here, why that food, this thing's not here you want. Well, what are your motives? What are the intentions of your heart when you ask for it? Even Psalm 35:13, hear a righteous cause, O Yahweh, give heed to the cry of lamentation, give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. So another change of that. Psalm 35:13. Yes, Psalm 35:13. Hear a righteous cause, O Yahweh, give heed to my cry of lamentation. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. So it's not going towards the hindering side, but you see he's just saying, which are not from deceitful lips. So it could be a deceitful lips that come from that. Even Proverbs 28:9 says, he who turns away his ear from listening to the law even his prayer is an abomination. These are harsh warnings about hindering our prayers. And even this one, which this one I read when I studied this, and man, it just tore me apart, was 1 Peter 3:7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So you need to get right with your wife, maybe, before you get right with God. Like that's a hard one. And I say all these things as a warning, because we know that in Christ, all our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. That would kind of be weird if, like, oh, we sin, well, there goes our prayers. We can't hear him anymore, right? It doesn't work that way. He's already forgiven us our sins, past, present, future. But if we live with sin, we're going to see some hindrances in our prayer. You know, there was a time when I struggled with pornography for years, and I didn't even focus on God, you know? And so did he answer my prayers? Maybe, but I didn't even notice it because I was so focused on pornography, the secular side of life. It wasn't until I got away from that and started focusing on Christ, I started seeing this conscience of God throughout the world, where I'm thankful now for just even the weather, his creation, my family, my son, you know, my wife, who is just strong in the word. I see those joys now. And so praise God for that. And maybe all of you struggle in some way like that. Now we're open our eyes. We're not blinded anymore. But one thing I just want to do, and we're about to close here, and maybe you have some questions and you want to ask, we can ask that. But I want to go back to Psalm 66, verses 18 through 20. And it says here, if I see wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Once again, hard to hear. But what's after that? But certainly God has heard, and he's given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. So if we regard sin in our life, we must repent of those sins and run the race of sanctification towards Christ. You know, prayer is just communication to God. How we should pray is seeking his will. Pray for one another. Pray for the saints with a pure heart. Never giving up on our prayers. And always praying to God. Never ceasing. It's very important in our walk as a Christian, in our Christian life, and sanctification. It's important. The more we pray to God, the more you can probably see as we trust in him. But that's all I have for you today on prayer. It's a little bit. I didn't go in depth in a lot. Maybe next time we can go into more depth. But if you have any questions, any advice, more than welcome to share that with us.
Just pray when you pray for someone else, someone that you've been praying for years.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. Never give up. Keep praying. God is working. It may not be in any place that you can see or understand.
Yes.
But he is working in their life.
Right.
It will come to fruition.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Very true. And sometimes we get to see those joys, right? We get to see a prayer answered, and that's huge. Like, ever seen that when a prayer's been answered and you just see the fruits of that? That is a beautiful thing. And sometimes we don't, but that's not our joy. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to, like, okay, I prayed 6 years ago for him. I should be seeing this prayer answered now, right? That's God's work. We pray for it, and he answers those prayers, and we trust in him.
You have breath and they have breath, keep praying.
Absolutely.
That's right. Praise Spurgeon on that point is, you know, if the unsaved are to go to hell, let them go with their arms wrapped around their ankles.
And tripping over you? Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's convicting, because you look at people and we're supposed to be going after them 100%, but there's some days I don't.
That quote's a gut punch every
single time. Yeah. Yep. That's wonderful. But is there any other questions or advice? Anyone?
I was just coming back to that Philippians chapter 4 about rejoice in the Lord always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. I'm paraphrasing poorly here. I don't have to open up right now. But the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And Paul is writing that statement from a Philippian jail. You know, he's incarcerated
yep.
at the moment. He's got Roman guards all around him. So when he's speaking of that peace of God that guards our heart and mind in Christ Jesus, it's with this cognizance of almost like that picture of guards, the guard of the Lord, you know, shielding our hearts and kind of repelling the peace disruptors from our life.
Yeah.
Because if Paul could pray that prayer in prison and have a peace that surpasses all understanding, you know, we need to also have that in our minds, that we are in a country where we don't even experience that what he was experiencing at that time, and so many things we can allow to just disrupt our peace, but we have him over our hearts guarding us and helping us to know that, you know, he is the one who has purposed these things, and we are to take joy and delight in the Lord no matter where he places us.
Absolutely.
But yeah,
that was wonderful. That's good. I agree with that. There's a lot of joy in that too. Ultimately, just pray. Give your prayers to God. Seek him out. Knock at his door. Never give up. And trust in him fully. Well, thank you guys for today. I'll go ahead and just end it with our prayer too. So, Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, to trust in you, to understand who you are in prayer. We thank you for the examples you've given us in Scripture of all the things the disciples could ask for, God. They asked for you to teach them about prayer. And we take that model to understand that it's all about you and your will and your glory, that every prayer answered is to glorify you, as you are the one who answers them, Lord. We thank you for the joys that prayer brings us, the confidence and delight in you, Lord. It gives us protection from sin when we strive to follow in you. And it helps us be in fellowship with one another in our community to pray for the saints and those in authority. May we just keep following in that pattern, Lord, and having the Spirit guide us to know who we should pray for and what we should pray for by his will. It is in your name we pray, amen.
Amen.